Time to visit with Ogden Superintendent Joshua Heyer, our guest on the program today. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, good morning, Jim.
Here we are, wrapping up a whole, well, let's see, what, over a month of school completed.
We are, yeah. It is actually a month in now, so it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that we're in the towards the end of September, and we're in homecoming week, so busy. Things are going on.
All right, so homecoming week for you guys. Did we have discussions? Last year, you guys had some discussions, and I think...
Overall, last year it went well. And yeah, honestly, leading into homecoming, our student council does a great job of, you know, hanging on to those longstanding traditions and really planning out the week. We're excited for the week. And yes, to answer your question, last Friday, our middle school, high school principal and Officer Bailey had a nice conversation with our students on, you know, how do you do things in an appropriate manner? So we're optimistic that we're going to have a great week this week.
It's all about choices, people.
It
all
is
about those choices. So, well, anyway, a lot of excitement for that. Busy week, full week. You got a lot of different things that are going to be going on for it.
Yeah, there's a number of things. You know, some of the dress up days and those things that are going on that the kids just try to have some school spirit.
Sure.
But really, it caps off Friday with, you know, a parade at 1 o'clock, and then we have the top dogs, recognition, and assembly, and then obviously the homecoming football game, followed up by the dance at night. So
we got everything going this week. Homecoming in Ogden. Yay. I'll get a win.
Yes. Yep. We play.
And there's other things that are happening, too. You had like all the three volleyball teams over there the other day. That was pretty impressive event.
It's a nice new event. I believe maybe they had this in the past, but they were trying to revitalize it, and it's kind of the champion of Boone County.
Yes.
We had the opportunity to host it this year and welcome Madrid and Boone, and I think overall it was well attended. The crowd was great, and a great opportunity for the girls to just go out there and showcase their abilities.
So, yeah, because... Frankly, the season's going very quickly.
Going quick.
No. The board did meet earlier in the month. We got that part taken care of. Not an overly long meeting. Again, most of these this time of the year, not a lot of policy things, things like that. Pretty much that's kind of what they were handling as well.
Yeah, we had two meetings in September, and they were back to back. You have your traditional annual meeting where there's just certain things that you have to identify for the year. You know, who's going to be your bank, who's going to be your legal counsel, those types of things. I would know out of the annual meeting, the one thing that changed for our listeners is we usually had a 6:30 p.m. regular meeting, and through discussion and some recommendations, the board ultimately agreed to move that up to 6 o'clock. It's just a 30-minute window, you know, change, but we think that could have a big impact. There's a number of people that are at those meetings that also need to be at other locations.
Yeah.
So by moving that up at 6 o'clock, we think that that's going to be more beneficial for everybody that's attending.
So we made that little change.
We're going
to be doing that.
Yeah, so that was out of the annual, and then obviously we moved to the regular meeting, and it was a light agenda. Some things that did take place there is we set a public hearing for October.
Yep.
For our listeners, we really are looking at the bus time and the duration.
So what led to this discussion here?
Well, to be honest with you, so Iowa code specifies how long a bus route can and can't be. And it also affords you the ability to extend that so long as you have a public hearing and your board takes action on it. And really just when you started to look at the miles that we travel in our district and the number of routes that we have, we were not in compliance. We were just outside of that 60-minute window. So really we had a couple things that we needed to do to try and rectify that solution. And the first thing that we're doing is having a public hearing, and we're requesting to extend 15 minutes more for those bus routes so that we can be in compliance with what Iowa code states.
Should give you enough time for that window.
It will. We're confident that, by the time the buses leave, and one thing for our listeners to know too is we leave from the elementary and then we go to the middle school, high school, and pick up kids. So some of our elementary kids are on the bus for 5 to 10 minutes before we even really officially start those routes.
Yeah.
But really, that's the most economical and efficient way, rather than running elementary buses and middle school, high school buses going to the same location. So
you're not the only district that, I mean, that is a real regular challenge for districts that do have a lot of miles. We know United is the same way. We know Southeast Webster, same way. You've got a lot of territory to cover.
Yeah, when you have a lot of miles overall, you have to just really look about this. And, you know, we updated recently and purchased a BusRite application, and it's really looking at some of our efficiencies, and it's adjusted some of our routes. And, you know, last year, maybe a family was one of the first ones off. Mm-hmm. Well, now, because of those efficiencies, they might be one of our later ones. And I think it's just creating awareness on the length of our routes, and ultimately we needed to do something to make sure we're in compliance, hence the reason for the October hearing, and hopefully we get a 15-minute extension.
All right, so that'll be going on. Once again, that is October 13th, regular meeting. Yeah, that is your regular
October
meeting.
13th.
Yep, here we go. Let's see, a few of the other things. Did your board, did they take a look at like the Iowa School Board Association priorities for lobbying? Do they do that as well?
Or? They usually do. We did not do that in the month of September. Mm-hmm. I'll bring those to the October regular meeting. And, you know, honestly, usually the Iowa Association gives us a list of 5 to 10 things.
Yeah.
And we always prioritize usually three or four.
Yep.
And then we submit that, and that hopefully by hearing the voice of all school districts, that really sets the stage for the school board on what they're going to really legislate and lobby for.
But the big thing for the school board association, we're going to be lobbying.
They will be lobbying in January, February on our behalf then.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the things, and I know you've talked to the board about it, but and this comes up with the election that we're going to be, we'll talk a little bit more about, but new people that are being elected are required by law now to go through some open meetings training. And again, whether you're being appointed to a board or a commission for a community or something, or elected to a school board, this is a state requirement now to take that open meetings. Basically, it's a Zoom link online.
Correct. Yeah, we've actually been able to receive either through Allers, which is our legal counsel, some training, and or they can attend Iowa Association of School Boards. They're going to have a conference here soon, and by attending that, you'll be sitting and getting some new learning. But last legislative session, they put that in place for anybody that's coming new onto a board is expected to go ahead and go through that training. We actually had a conversation at the board table and said, you know what, if we're going to have new people go through that training, would it be beneficial for all of us to go through it?
Just have everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would anticipate over the next, you know, couple months, we will be bringing on a minimum of one new person mm-hmm. to our board that we will all hopefully go through all that training.
So I know there's that city's got to go through it and everything, and you try to schedule it, and they have somebody that's holding that session. So everybody will get through it at one point. So what happened on the site side of things? You were looking at some things there to just kind of collect information, or Bishop Engineering?
We've had conversations in the mm-hmm. past, Jim, about some possibly facility improvements that we want to do. And, you know, we've gone through with FRK, they've done a master plan. Bishop Engineering works in partnership with FRK. And one of the things that continues to be an issue is our middle school, high school campus, mm-hmm. adequate parking traffic flow, all of those aspects. And we have not made a decision, the board is not, but in order for us to meet certain deadlines, there's critical information that Bishop Engineering needed to know. And that site survey is really kind of allowing us to move the ball down the field, if you mm-hmm. will, before they're able to make that final decision on, yes, we want to pull the trigger and do this project or not. So in our September regular meeting, they did approve for that site surveying to happen. Really, we're capturing just information so that mm-hmm. we can make informed decisions. And they had some preliminary designs, but what if all of a sudden those preliminary designs were in conflict with something that we couldn't see? So the more that we know, the more Bishop can actually educate and inform, and then ultimately the board can make a decision on, yep, this is a project we're going to do, or no, we're going to hold off.
I'm thinking pretty sure. I feel pretty confident your board wants this done. It's just a matter of what's going to probably do the best for the dollars we're going to spend.
Yeah.
What's going to meet our needs now and for next several years?
We have really started to plan for this and really budget for it using PEPL saved dollars. Mm-hmm. And really, it's ultimately the scope of the project. And in order to determine the scope of that project, you have to have the information before you can even start. So I'm optimistic that we were able to get that information. And they were actually out last week kind of surveying. We'll get that from Bishop Engineering, and that will really educate us on what we need to do moving forward.
Hey, the first big one was we got the drain tile through there fixed. So
we got the drain tile, and we got water moving away.
So we got that. Now, just getting all the traffic in and out. And we're seeing, again, for different events, different activities that are coming up, you get a lot of people turning out for it. Like last weekend, that would have been awfully full parking lot over there.
It is, yeah. When you start to invite multiple neighboring schools, you know, and whether that's a wrestling, a triangular for volleyball, you know, a large football. If we have football and also volleyball going on the same night, we just simply don't have adequate parking. Yeah. So it is something that needs to be addressed.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you did mention, we're going to have at least one new Pete. Thank you for your time serving, but he's decided not to seek re-election.
That is correct. Pete Bergstrom is, I think he served for 12 years, and the position of a school board member, if everybody remembers, it is free. It is a volunteer position, and we're so thankful for all of our board members, and particularly, I just want to thank Pete. You know, he was the board president when I was actually assumed the position as superintendent, but he is done and will not be seeking re-election.
Okay.
But Kelly Merritt is an incumbent, and she has turned in paperwork and will be on the ballot, as well as Tina Palmer and Lauren Britton. Mm-hmm. So we will have ultimately three people on the ballot for the two spots for our school board.
School board and top two vote getters will move on to the board. And once again, you got good candidates.
We have good candidates, yeah. You know, initially I was even nervous of what happens if we don't have anybody, and that's not the case here. You know, we got three great candidates for two positions, and no matter what the outcomes are, I'm excited to welcome a minimum of one new person, and or also Kelly as an incumbent, and just really continue to work. And we're doing great things over there, and they'll lead right into three returning board members, sure. And we'll continue the work that we've been doing.
The other part, and I told people we were going to talk a little bit about it, but you have other questions that are going to be on the Ogden ballot in November. Not everybody gets this, but the Ogden School District.
Yeah. So we actually, prior to coming, I had a meeting this morning just to really figure out more information on how are we going to educate our community about something called a revenue purpose statement.
Yep.
It's ultimately SAVE. It's your 1 cent sales tax. And
you just say, we're going to spend it the way the state says we can spend it.
Absolutely. So the SAVE, no matter what, the school districts are going to be getting it.
Yeah.
But the purpose statement allows us the autonomy to be able to use that in a manner that we think is going to be best for the district.
Sure.
And a lot of that would be for maintenance purposes. It might be for technology.
Sure.
Might be for our fleet management,
yep.
et cetera. And without that, it says in Iowa code specifically, this is what you shall do.
Yep.
That is to set to expire in 2030. We're actually bringing it to our patrons early, which a number of other schools actually across the state are doing it.
Yep.
When you're doing long-term budget planning, you really want to know, is this something that you're going to have in place or not? So,
especially if you start doing this planning out 5, 7, 10 years.
Correct.
You know, how are we going to do this? What will be our options for funding?
Yeah. So it is important for us to know that information. So it is not raising their taxes at all. It is just really informing them and saying, yes, we understand and getting that revenue purpose statement in place.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, Ogden's not the only one. Everybody has to do that at some point. You have to do that every once in a while just so that your voters know, yep, we're following our law. And the legislature, they always like to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to. So.
Yeah.
Have that. The other part is your physical plant equipment levy. You you're going to look to, and over the last several years, Ogden voters have supported the extension of that. You're asking them to extend it again.
Correct. So with that, physical plant equipment level, also known as PEPL, the board has a portion that they can approve, and then there's also a voter PEPL. Mm-hmm. And in 2018 was the last time that it was actually on the ballot, and our patrons overwhelmingly supported it. That can only be in place for 10 years and is set to expire in 2028. And just as I previously was mentioning, when we're starting to do long-term planning, we really need to know beyond 2028. We're usually doing five-year-plus analysis and forecasting, and it would be beneficial for us to know. Again, we're not asking for any additional taxes. Nope. This is a continuation of what is established and what is put in place. We're just looking for them to continue that for another 10 years on what we currently have been doing for many years prior to today and many years before I even came.
So once again, those are the two that Ogden voters will have to consider. Yes or no on those, and then Three candidates.
They'll have to vote for two. Yep. So November 4th, I believe, would be the elections.
Yep. It is election day. And I don't think you overlap with anybody. That's okay. We get it all in one shot there. But that's, again, a lot of people think, you know, well, you're talking levy. Okay, physical plant equipment levy. But again, very important for, I mean, otherwise, either you go without, or you have to start shifting some of your general fund dollars.
It would be that case. So, you know, ultimately, it would be if this is discontinued or not approved, the business that we expect and we've established a certain bar, a certain standard, we would continue with that. But ultimately, we would not have the funds to be able to support that. So it's going to have to come from another revenue source. And that would probably be our general budget. Yeah. And our general budget, 80% of it is really our employee benefits and their salaries. Yeah. So, you know, yes, we would have to maintain our buildings.
Yep.
And that's going to have to come at a cost of something else, which might be increased class size, or we're all of a sudden pink slipping somebody because we need to use that general budget for other purposes. Yeah. So
again, it's important for district operations.
It is very important for our overall well-being, what we've been doing. And really,
like you said, a continuation of what we're already asking for.
It is a continuation, and that's what we're hoping that our listeners, our patrons understand is we're not asking for additional taxes. We're just simply, this is what you guys are accustomed to, and this is the money that we need to be able to continue to do business.
Especially if you're looking forward and you're going to have more projects that need to be done. Obviously, the one we did, the roofing project, that was the one that needed to be taken care of. By the way, physical plant equipment levy dollars. Just saying. Where do you think it goes? That's how you get it paid.
Yeah, we don't use our general budget for that. Yeah. We use either SAVE or the physical plant equipment levy to maintain the facilities that we have and or to make upgrades that we've been discussing.
Yeah. Yeah. Parking lot, folks. Don't worry. We know it'll be there sooner or later. Well, homecoming continues this week. Hopefully everything goes off without a hitch. We like that, if that's good. By the way, it's looking to be after a... Yeah, I think we're going to have pretty pleasant weather. It's going to warm up a little bit, by the way, for next weekend.
I think towards the end of the week, they're talking mid-80s, but overall, yeah. I think it's going to be a great week. And
it'll be cool for the game. It'll be all right for game time.
It will be by the time we have game time. And good luck, Bulldogs, and go out there and represent ourselves and our community and get a win against West Central Valley.
Joshua Heyer, our guest on our program today, superintendent for the Ogden Community School District. Thanks for coming and visiting with us.
Thank you.